in the morning or had a few days where you weren't too fired up?
Yes.
But just things seem to be like brought in you.
Yes.
Every direction.
Yes.
And you're wondering, Lord, I'm saved. What's the deal here? I'm blessed. How come I'm feeling unblessed? But sometimes we feel that way, whether we want to, or it just kind of happens, you know, everyday affairs. But I'm going to read you a few things here out of Hebrews.
Hallelujah.
And Hebrews is kind of a, well, not a tough book, but it goes on and on. There's so many great things in it. But I'm in chapter 10. I'm just going to read you a few things to kind of reaffirm in your spirit, hopefully, that just who you are and what the Lord did for you. I'm going to start with, it's kind of hard to pick out something here perfectly. Where to start? Without doing the whole chapter, and that's 39 verses long. So, put on your seatbelt. But I'm going to start here at, how about verse 10? Hebrews 10:10. By that, I'm kind of jumping in the middle of something here, but further on down is what I really want to do here. By that, we have been sanctified, talking about the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. By that, we have been sacrificed through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. 11. And every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. He's talking about the high priest of the temple, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Ever wonder about your salvation? What you said during the week, what you spoke, what you thought? Boy, Lord, is that, why am I thinking that? Why am I saying that? What, you know? But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified.
Hallelujah. All of us
believers in Jesus were being sanctified all the time, you know. It's a process, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For after he had said before, back in Jeremiah, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins, their lawless deeds, I will remember no more.
Amen.
Ooh, thank you for remembering them no more, Lord. For where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. I'll read 19 also. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So whenever I start thinking about, Lord, how can I say these? How can I do this? How? Just seems like I'm getting beat down here. I'm wondering if I'm even saved. I'm wondering, Lord, where is the blessing? It is there.
Amen.
Regardless of your shortcomings, yes. He remembers them no more because of that sacrifice which covers everything.
That's
pretty good news to me. I need that good news a lot. And because, boy, I thank God that the sanctification is an ongoing thing here, if I'm reading this correctly.
Amen.
We need that. We need to stay in this word, His word, so we can learn more and more and more. You know, good stuff in, good stuff out, right? And so I'm just, I don't know why I had that on my mind this morning, but I am thankful. I am very thankful that their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus did for us.
Amen.
What a sacrifice. It took perfect Jesus to perform the sacrifice for us, and I'm so thankful that our sins are no longer remembered by you because of what Jesus did for us. We can come to you boldly, this word says, boldly, and bring our petitions before you, Father God, in the holy name of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus is good enough to come before you, Father God. We can come before you boldly with our petitions, our requests, and we just thank you. And I'm just so happy, so thankful to you, Lord, that because of the act, the sacrifice of Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Our sins are remembered no more by you. So let that thought permeate our beings, our spirit, that we're an ongoing work. You're working on us, Lord, and I thank you for that. And I just say, Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us, in us, around us, every day, with your grace and mercy. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' holy name I pray, and I thank you very much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you have your Bible today, let's turn to Psalms 27. This is an excellent declaration of faith. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life. In whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though it may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, and in his secret place, in his tabernacle. He shall hide me, and he shall set me on high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above all my enemies and all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices. I will offer sacrifices in his tabernacle. And I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. have mercy upon me and answer me. When you shall seek my face, my heart says to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my enemies. For false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as have breathed out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would be set. That I will see the goodness of the Lord in the hand of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen.
God has it all covered. Everything we're going through, God has it all covered. I want you to hear that. That's my message today. And, you know, as I was preparing this, the Lord gave me a few extra messages, some different scriptures, let me put it that way. And one of the things that I put down here was, I really believe with all my heart that the more we spend time with Him, the more we realize who He is, the more He will give us strategies and directions of what to do. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just do my own thing. You ever do that? I mean, let's get honest here this morning. I've done that so many times, and then I've got myself in trouble before, and I realized that I should have went to the Lord first and realized that He protects us. He would protect me if I would just do that. And so different verses that the Lord gave to me was this, and Karen, it went so much along with what you read. I've asked people, I don't know, since March or April, to be reading Psalms 91, to read it in the morning, to read it at night before you go to bed. And I made copies of it, and it talks about how He takes care of us. And the Lord told me to read that again, and I have a copy of it here, if you will just bear with me for a minute. It says, I live in the shelter of the Most High, and I am under His shadow. That means that you're under His protection. And this I declare about the Lord, He is my refuge, and He is my place of safety, and He is my God. And I like to say El Shaddai, and I trust in Him. For He will rescue me from every trap. Everything that the enemy puts out there, He will rescue me. And He will protect me from deadly disease. This COVID-19, the different strands that they talked about. Hey, you bleed that blood of Jesus on you, no way is it going to hit you. That's the answer, is Jesus. The other thing that it says here is, I will not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. That's the attacks. That means when you go to bed at night, you plead the blood of Jesus on your bed. You get in your car, you plead the blood of Jesus. You put on that full armor. And you know what I said? The Lord, it just sounds so simple. Why don't people just do it? We just need to do it. We need to read this and act upon it. And it says, I will not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disasters that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at my side, though 10,000 are dying around me, these evils will not touch me. I don't know about you, that's pretty powerful.
Amen.
Come on. When I open my eyes, I see how the wicked are punished. because I made the Lord my refuge, because I made the Most High my shelter. No evil will conquer me, and no plague will come near my home. Joe and I claim that for this church family, for the people that listen on Facebook or whatever, different social media. We pleaded over our children. We pleaded over our grandbabies. And you know what it's about? Not just you and me. It's for generation upon generation. That's the covenant that we have with the Lord. For he will order his angels to protect me wherever I go. I can be a testimony to that one. They will hold me up with their hands so I won't even hurt my foot on a stone. I'll trample upon lions and cobras. I'll crush fierce lions and serpents under my feet. And it's all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord says, I will rescue those that love me. I don't know about you, that's exciting.
Yes.
I think that is really a battle strategy in itself, is to talk about love, how powerful love is. I've said, if you've ever attended this church, you know, I came from loving parents. I'm very thankful. I just thought all parents love their kids. But I can truthfully say that. Joe came from loving parents as well. And it was kind of cute because I didn't have any problem understanding the love of God because I knew what love was about. And then when I got in the Word, it said he loved me greater than what my parents loved me. He loved me greater than Joe loving me. He loved me greater than what my friends loved me. Are you hearing me? I think that's powerful. It's even hard to understand how much he loves us. I will protect those who trust in my name. I think if you ever learn anything from this place, I want you to know it's his great name, and that's Jesus. Amen. All you have to do is say Jesus. Amen. Every demon of hell knows Jesus.
Amen.
And if you got enough Jesus inside of you, they kind of have fear of you too, because he's supposed to be so much a part of you.
Right.
Amen. Come on. And the other thing I put down here for Psalms 91, as I was kind of highlighting it on this piece of paper, I will protect those who trust in my name, and when they call upon me, I will answer.
Amen.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
How many of us are thirsty? How many of us want to change? How many of us have tried to do things in our own way and realize we haven't done very good at it? That's what the kids would say. Didn't do too good at it. Come on. We just have to call upon his name, his great name, and he will help us. He is there all the time. Mm-hmm. I will be with you in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. Hey, that means we get to be with him forever. I don't know about you. That excites me. Sometimes I say, Lord, come on. I'm ready to go home. Come on, Lord. Hallelujah. I just felt like I was supposed to read that this morning. I didn't have a plan. It was just sitting here in the book. Now, the Lord's funny, isn't he? He's always up to something. One of the things that I wrote down here, and if you have your Word, you have the Bible, I wrote down John 16, and I think it was verse 13, and this is about the Holy Spirit. You see, a lot of people talk about God, talk about Jesus, but they forgot about the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, it's three in one, they're really all God. But the Holy Spirit is a person, a spirit, who is here to guide us and direct us every day. So in John 16, it talks about the promises from the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell it to you like this, and even people listening. If you don't have the gift of tongues, if you don't have that gift, I don't know how you're making it. Because getting in his presence, praying, the speaking in tongues is speaking directly to the Lord, and it edifies you, it edifies Him. And you know what is awesome about that? It's like Satan can't even interpret that. The heavenly language is so important, because if you don't learn to speak to the Lord directly, He's the one who will bring you strategies. He's the one who will bring you guidance. He's the one who will help you to know which path to go. Are you hearing me this morning? Over and over again, I want to look at John 16, and I want to look at the verse 13 for a moment. It says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, did you know that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth? Well, we know Him as the fire, we know Him as the, the water, we know Him, different things, but it says here, the Spirit is truth. That's what the Word says. He has come. For what purpose? He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. And verse 14, it says, He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine, and He will declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. So if you want to know the truth, the Holy Spirit will show you what is true. And there is a lot of deception on the land. So whenever we are told something, or someone has a word for us, we should be able to go to the Word of God, ask the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. And that is important for today. And another thing that the Holy Spirit showed me, is Psalms 46. It sounds just like Psalms 91. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountain be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High God. And God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations rage. Isn't that what's going on?
Yep.
The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice and the earth melted. For the Lord of hosts, I love this. Help me, Lord. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I don't know about you, that's powerful this morning. I think between the praise and the worship and reading some scripture from the Word, we've had church.
Amen.
There are so many things in this world that we have absolutely no control over. The stock market is unstable. The economy is unstable. There's global turmoil. Our national debt is crazy. Our Social Security, they say, is going to go bankrupt. We don't have a cure for the COVID-19, but I say, hey, it's Jesus. Healthcare is unaffordable. Most people can't afford their medications. Most people don't have jobs. Jobs are scarce. And whether we want to admit it or not, we have different people, the ISIS different terrorists, different things going on right here in the American soil. And our military men and women are in harm's way over this world. And even with the different things where justice has not served, there has been fires, things destroyed. And that's a spirit of Satan. That is not a spirit of God. It is not of God to destroy people or destroy things, materialistic things. I wrote here, I saw different things going on in North Korea. I saw things going on my Facebook on China, where things, people who were Christians, were being persecuted. We've seen mass shootings, not just the African Americans. We've seen white people, we've seen policemen. Mass shootings are becoming a commonplace in our country, and our country is becoming more and more divided. So what is the answer? We have no control over this, except we have the power to pray.
Amen.
We have the power to cry out in Jesus' name for it to change. I just have such a hard time when people aren't crying out. They're just going day by day as if nothing is wrong. I'm telling you right now, we need to bend our knees. We need to cry out to God for an answer, for a strategy. We live in a world filled with trouble, uncertainty. It seems that things are bad, and to me, when I turn on the news or whatever, it just gets worse. I go to my room, and I just say, oh, Lord, I'm bringing this before you. Some of you that are sitting in here today, the Lord said, are dealing with personal issues. You may have rebellious children. You can't pay your bills. Your mortgage payment is due. You have problems at work. You have marital problems. You have health issues, or any of a host of other situations that seem to consume our lives. Many times we are totally blinded by circumstances and we don't have any control except to pray. And I consider that powerful.
Amen.
I believe that Hilltop is noted for prayer.
Amen.
I like to shake the demonic kingdom with Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So I want to tell you this, that you are more than a conqueror. You can be victorious. But you know what? I can say it forever from this pulpit. Joe can say it to you. Anybody can say it to you. But you got to be the one that makes the move.
Amen.
You got to be the one that gets up in the morning. Well, if you only knew my schedule, well, hey, if you knew my schedule, it'd scare you. And I have to realize and tell myself, I got to get up an hour extra early. Or I have to be woken up by the Lord so that I know what's going on. We need to be so close to the Holy Spirit that we know what path to take, what strategy to use, when to use it, proper timing, and to move forward in His great name. That's powerful. So, it's not about the governor. It's not about Congress. It's not about our Supreme Court. The president is not in control of the United Nations. What I put down here is God Almighty. Can be in control, should be in control, and we should proclaim that in His name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, that's the answer today. You know, one of the things that I put down here is that many Christians are far too much engulfed with needless worry. I do that. I think about this, I think about that. I think about things I just really can't do. And it'll keep me up during the night sometimes. And I've had to learn to lay this down because I wasn't supposed to carry it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that something goes wrong, we're supposed supposed to give that to the Lord. We're supposed to go to a different level, a different trust level. I can't do that for you. You can only do that for yourself. And I really believe, like, that there's been a big separation between the wheat and the tares. And the wheat are the people that are moving with the Holy Spirit, moving with what He wants to do. And the tares are there just ripping things apart. There's a great separation. There's a separation of people who are worshiping the Most High God, sold out to Him. And there's some people who's kind of playing a little bit of both, a little bit about in the world and in the kingdom. And then there's some that goes, they don't even know what's going on right now. I mean, literal. So I believe that we have something to do for the kingdom, and that's to bring souls to God so He can set them free. I mean, we got to be stirred up about that. We got to have the fire. I say, fire me up, Lord, fire me up. But I don't know about you, but we worry and we worry and we worry about this and we worry about that. And the tragic thing is that these things that we worry about, that's how we suffer. We can suffer a heart attack. We can have a stroke. We can have high blood pressure. We can just become a worrywart. Well, look! You ever sometimes talk to people and they just, and you go, oh my gosh. We should be so full of Him that we can find peace in this world.
Amen.
Peace. I wrote down here, one way besides prayer is you can worship.
Amen.
We're not up here to entertain you. Not at all. Because if we haven't humbled ourselves before the Lord, then it's just brass, it's loud, it's whatever. But you know, worship should change you, should change all of us. Because you know, when we praise Him, we're saying, we love you, Lord, we extol you, Lord. But when we worship Him, it becomes intimate. It becomes a time when we just lift our hands up and He just comes all over us. And I'm really serious about this. We change. Mm-hmm. We forget about all the garbage that's out there. We want to make a change. We want to make a move. You know, I wrote this down here that life is just too short to be worried about this and worried about that. And you know what? I heard a preacher, and I liked what he said. He said, God gave us emotions. So don't apologize when you cry. Don't apologize when you feel bad for someone. Don't apologize when you see that things aren't going right and you just have a cry time. Can I say that? What is important is that you don't react out of those. That you don't make a move when you're ticked off. You don't make the wrong kind of move when you're so emotionally whatever that you can't think. One of the things that I have found in leadership a long time ago was when you just don't know what to do, don't do anything. Don't do anything. Pray about it. Ask for advice. And you know what? Sometimes it's hard just to wait. Sometimes it's just hard to quiet ourselves. Sometimes we need to get off that phone of ours and the social media and everything that's going on. We need to turn it off. And I remember watching Pastor Rodney Brown, I guess it's his proper title. He said, you know, people, are you listening to me on your Facebook, while I'm preaching, or are you talking to your friends, or are you messaging someone? You know, we're just so preoccupied. And I really believe that in this time, I really believe that God wants us to tune into Him, spend time with Him. And I love putting this down here as I wrote this. It's just telling God about our big problems. It sounds funny, and I don't mean it in disrespect, but you know what? I heard someone just say, I don't know who Jonah was listening to, but they said, you know, sometimes God is just sitting there laughing. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, I think of this.
Ooh. Hot.
Ooh. And I have great respect. I don't mean it in the wrong way. But you know, sometimes he looks and goes, man, haven't I told her just to let it go? Just to laugh? Just to bring it to me and let it go? Guys, I'm really serious about this. You know, when was the last time you just laughed? When was the last time that you just got before the Lord and you said, okay, I'm giving you all this, I had enough of this, I tried doing my thing and it just ain't gonna work? I kind of been doing that more and more. Another thing that I put down here is I was thinking about, you know, if we don't quiet ourselves and we don't wait on Him and Him showing us the strategies, how do we know what to do? How do we know how to pray? You know, there's sometimes we don't know how to pray. And that's why I believe when you use your heavenly language, it's like the Holy Spirit is praying through you. Another thing that I put down here is He knows us by name. Isn't that kind of cool? I think of all the people in the world, and He knows every one of us. He knows what we're going through. He knows how to reach us. Now, maybe for you, He comes to you in a very soft, quiet voice. He usually has to talk pretty loud to me. And I know it's Him. So for some of you, He might just come to you and talk softly to you. But for me, He talks real loud to me. That's the only way it's going to get through this up. But I'm going to be in submission. You see, it's yielding. It's coming humbly before Him. It's coming broken to Him. But I love, when I read that, that He knows us all by name if we belong to Him. That means if you're born again. So if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, do it today. Get baptized. Because what that does is, baptism is dying of your old self, and you're coming back new. You're going to start all over again. And the other thing that I wrote down here is that we are His possession. We are His property. We are important to Him. If you're waiting to please man, you're in trouble. Because man's crooked. Man will always find fault with you. Man will always want to rip you apart. But I can truthfully tell you that Jesus loves every person that is here or listening to this podcast and Facebook. He loves you. Isn't it something powerful? So when I used to minister a lot to kids, I say to them, if you've given your heart to the Lord, then who are you to commit suicide? Who are you to cut yourself? Who are you that you think that you could harm the temple of the Holy Spirit? You see, when you're sold out to Him, He's sold out to you.
Amen.
He'll help you have a new day. He'll help you to find another path to take. I wrote down here is whether you understand it or not. God is in control even right now. Even with everything going on, God has a plan. He's going forth with the plan. I wrote down trials and tribulations are certain to come. That's what we read. But it's what you do with the trials and the tribulations. Excuse me. It says, be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world, and so will you. The one thing that I put down here is that Mark 4 teaches that when Jesus and the disciples were out on the water, and the water got rough, and Jesus rebuked the wind, and he told the sea to be still, Jesus is still rebuking the wind today in our lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. That means the things that are coming towards you. Every now and then, our lives are tested by fire. And we go through the fire. But the same God that hung the sun and the moon, that same God put the wetness in the rain. For rain brings like a refreshing. God that put the twinkle in the star can take the heat and the hurt of the fire. So when we're going through the storm, when we're going through the fire, we don't know what we're doing. Get your eyes on Jesus. In Psalms 46:1, he teaches that God is our refuge and he is our strength, a very present help in trouble. And since he is our refuge, we can find protection in him. We can find strength in him the more we come into his presence. I believe that there are people here, people that are listening, that are having a difficult time right now. And I want you to know that if you quiet yourself and you cry out to the Lord, he has an answer for you and you don't need to worry. He'll take care of you if you take care of him. If you worship him.
Amen.
If somebody has an illness in their lives, maybe in a loved one, don't worry. Take that loved one before God. God's the healer. God can heal. God can take care of. I put this down too, that God is always there. If we're willing to bow ourselves down. I was watching how many people were bowing down to God this morning as we sang our song. That means yielded. That means dying of yourself. That means that you're going to get out of the way and allow God to do what he wants to do. So one of the things that I want to share with you today is that God has it covered.
Amen.
So stop worrying and get in his presence and really trust him for today. For he's the answer. He's our way maker. He's our miracle worker.
Yeah.
And he's our promise keeper.
Hallelujah.
So I want to encourage you with that today. Stop worrying. Start trusting in him. Amen?
Amen.